Alrighty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it, the Daily Caller Podcast, Friday video edition for this, the day after Independence Day, July 5th, 2019. I'm Derek Hutter. I am your host, and we're halfway through the year. It doesn't seem like it. It seems like we're halfway through 5 years. But yes, 2019 is half in the books, and I'm half in the bag. And I thought, what better time to look back at the first half of the year than right at the half of the year? Because it'd be really weird around Christmas time to only look at half of the year. So I thought, let's get Dan Gaynor in here from the Media Research Center. He's Vice President of Business, Culture, and Tech. Is that the Tech Watch? Okay. It's one of those people who needs two business cards.
I actually have the world's largest business card.
Entire title. Now you just need somebody to like write a fellowship on top of that and make it completely.
I actually have the Boone Pickens Free Market Fellow to add to all that.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
So you do need to print on the back of the business card. All right. I asked Dan to take a look back at the first 6 months, some of the worst moments in media, and Lord knows the Media Research Center, if media were fertilizer, which it seems like they spread a lot of what is fertilizer, they would be growing the biggest crops in the world. So he went through and he picked out some of the best, worst, would that be how you classify it? Best, worst journalism so far?
Yeah, that's all journalism is now, is the worst journalism. Once in a while, you get actually good stuff, but by and large, it's just like, oh, good God, they did that too?
Well, let's talk about you for a second. You've been at the MRC for a while.
Yep, a while is, since we're the half year, I am almost at 15-year mark.
Almost 15 years.
So which is shocking that Brent has not killed me in that time.
You're one of the lucky people who watches media and gets paid for it. The rest of us watch it for free like suckers. In the 15 years that you've been there and you've observed it, describe the trend that you've seen. 15 years ago, you're looking at the first Bush administration. End of the first Bush administration.
Right before the president, just as the presidential election was really kicking off. Nothing.
See, I can do math.
As you say, means you're not qualified for journalism because they can't. Nothing that we have in media now is the same as it was then. I mean, absolutely freaking nothing. CNN was not a mental health facility.
MSNBC was semi-watchable.
Yeah, but CNN was not a mental health facility. most of the media outlets that are now prominent, from BuzzFeed and HuffPost to Fox Business, is just going down the line. None of them existed. And social media wasn't around.
What a glorious time.
I mean,
I think I was on Friendster at the time.
It really was a glorious time because everything wasn't as nuts as it is now. So since that time, we've gone through the Great Recession, then social media started, which we just should have seen it and all run screaming. I blame Rob Bluey, by the way. I'm going to go on record blaming Rob Bluey. But Rob Bluey, great guy, used to work for us. Rob's the reason why I got on social media early. So he's both helped and ruined my life.
There you go, Bluey. Class action lawsuit coming your way.
So he got me on Twitter. I've been on Twitter for more than 10 years, except for a brief Twitter strike I went on that our PR people got angry about.
I was a late adapter to Twitter because I thought, this is really stupid.
And it's more stupid now.
I know. It's dumb now. I thought the idea was stupid. The idea is great. The execution is stupid.
Well, what happened, though, with social media? Conservatives have been complaining for my entire life the media are biased. Mm. And we knew it. It's obvious. There's bias by omission and bias by commission. It used to be media bias was more omission. Just, we didn't cover that story.
Oh, when there were only four outlets, they cut it on the cutting room floor. That was it. Nobody was there to pick it up.
Right. But since social media, they've completely just shot that all to hell. And now it's mostly the real big stuff is biased by commission. Look at how they cover Trump. I'm betraying some of my listeners.
Trump, who's Trump? I've never heard of him.
Yeah, it's stuff like that. It is people like Jim Acosta. Jim Acosta, if there's a patron, devil instead of saint for current media, it's Jim Acosta. He is the embodiment of pretty much all that's wrong about journalism right now. He's smarmy, uneducated, lacks knowledge, is sarcastic, bombastic, narcissistic. I could just go on. He's all that jammed into one. And then CNN, instead of getting rid of him and saying, well, you're embarrassing the brand, man, they hired two copycats. They hired April Ryan and Brian Karam, both because they acted like the same idiot that Jim Acosta is in the press room.
I like to describe someone like Jim Acosta, somebody like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, as it's arrogance coupled with ignorance. They don't know so much, but they're damn sure they know everything, and they can't be told anything. So let's get to the list, because you put together the worst of journalism so far, the top 10. We don't have a drum roll, and I have no rhythm.
And it's appropriate. Yeah,
that's I have no rhythm, so let's start with number 10, Dan.
Okay. Well, 10 is a personal issue for me, because it's I summarized a whole bunch of things. I wrote an op-ed for Fox not too long ago about this. It's called, I called it Overturning Democracy. Now, watch how the media hype the following issues. Getting rid of the Electoral College, 16-year-olds voting, because, you know, that's always a good thing. Important. Packing the Supreme Court, something that numerous Democrats have advocated for now. Changing the First Amendment because, you know, Citizens United, we can't have a free speech warning.
I do love how the left, we need to have respect for precedent. Roe v. Wade is settled law, respect for... if elected, I will overturn Citizens United. Wait, how does that...
Getting rid of the Senate. Adding states because, you know, we can control that. And of course, because it's connected, but open borders. So you can, and open borders so you can get basically as many voters in as you want. Now, if you say stuff like that last one on Twitter or Facebook, you might get banned. But but basically remaking our democracy. Now, if the Republican Party had talked about remaking our democracy in some insane and significant way, the media would be beating them up every single day. Instead, the media want to stop Republicans. Oh, that's their number one goal. Stop Republicans, stop conservatives, destroy them, crush Trump, crush Pence, crush, you know, Republicans in the Senate, Republicans in the House, Republicans who are running for dog catcher in Alabama.
Well, they must be destroyed.
Yeah. And the net result is... they think all of this stuff, which is wildly unconstitutional, which has been rejected throughout our history in various ways, which is...
and is insanely unpopular with anybody except for the extreme radical left.
Yeah. Or is foundational to our democracy. The whole, you know, the compromises we made to actually create the country.
That's why the Electoral College exists.
Yeah, exactly. Well, because small states don't like it when California and New York run everything. And so... their whole goal is to seize power. And then ironically, of course, is that they're now being run by so-called democratic socialists. Well, this is what socialists do everywhere. And, oh, by the way, and then we'll throw in taking your guns away. Because, you know, in case all the other measures, you didn't like them and you decide to stand up for yourself, oh, we're going to take guns away too.
That's a lot. That could have been a top 10 list in and of itself, just in all the things in there. But you're right about the way that those are covered. It's amazing how they're just, I mean, the people who sit there and say, well, they're trying to destroy democracy. Donald Trump is a threat to our democracy. The people who chant, this is what democracy looks like, as they're shouting down people, which is ironically decidedly not what democracy looks like, are advocating all of these things that are, I mean, I know, don't send the emails. We're a republic. We're not a democracy. I get it. But we're talking about common parlance here. Are the very same people who stand up and advocate for these things that are designed to concentrate power, not in the individual, but in the state. We need to get rid of the Senate. This has been something that's been around for a while because of the filibuster. First, they got to get rid of the filibuster. Then they want to get rid of the Senate or get rid of why the Senate exists by having proportional representation. My favorite one is when they sit there and say, Wyoming has two senators and New York only has two senators, but the population of Wyoming is one third the population of New York City. Is that fair? Just on its face? No, but that's not why the Senate exists. The Senate exists for a very specific reason. We should actually not have direct election of senators anymore. And then we get back to what the Senate
What they want to do is turn us into a direct democracy that they control, which wouldn't really be a democracy. Basically,
Well, they advocate for democracy. And then when there's a referendum, California is a great example. Every referendum that the liberals lost, the next day they're in the court suing. We demand democracy. Oh, it didn't go our way. Well, we demand that the democracy be stopped.
Well, I mean, look, if you were to do that, look at George W. Bush and the Florida election. Now, if Al Gore had the ethics that this clear table has, he would have asked for a total recount of Florida votes. Mm. according to analysis done by Miami Herald and some others, he would have won. Instead, Al Gore tried to game the system like a typical liberal.
And I just want these Democratic areas.
Right, exactly. Now. And then because of that, he lost. And then they'll say, oh, Supreme Court's evil. We got to get rid of it. Like, if you guys just tried to do the moral thing.
Well, that's the thing. First of all, I love this because they've spent the last, my lifetime, saying you can't legislate morality. You can't legislate morality. Now, as we're approaching primary season, everything is a moral imperative. We have to do this because of moral reasons from the left. And somehow they justify abortion based on morals. I'm not really sure how that would. Climate change is a moral imperative. Healthcare for all is a moral. I thought we couldn't legislate morality. Now you're wanting to construct a pulpit so you can legislate from a position of morality. They basically
become the worst, their worst fears of what religious people are as far as voting. They vote based on faith.
Yes.
You know, they don't vote based on facts. They don't care about facts. It's feels.
Well, that's number 10. Number nine.
We can just talk about that.
That's right. I know.
Number nine is easy. The economy. The economy is still going great.
It is.
Unemployment is far below where we were told it couldn't go below.
We were told those manufacturing jobs are never coming back. That it was new normal, 1-2% GDP growth was the new normal, and that's the way we're just going to have to get used to it. And then something funny happened. Yeah. Donald Trump got elected. Months of buildup saying if he gets elected, he's going to just set the economy on fire. And
Paul Krugman writes a post-election column that he then had to later retract because he basically said a global recession with no end in sight. And, you know, I mean, this is a guy who gets paid to be
a lot.
An economist.
He's paid $250,000 by NYU to study poverty.
Yeah.
Hello.
Like he knows anything about poverty.
Right. But they're paid $250,000 to complain about poverty.
Which the irony of that
is. How many sandwiches can you buy for $250,000?
How many poor people could you just like put in homes?
Right, exactly.
But so we've got excellent economy. You know, it's not like it was during Reagan, but the world has changed. The world is globalized massively more. And so who's responsible for the fact that globalization, it's not conservatives. We don't like it. It's liberals. Liberals suck
the
out
economy,
as much.
I've read the New York Times. I've watched MSNBC.
God help you.
The economy is a direct result of the 8 years of horrible economy under Barack Obama. We're now reaping the benefits of that. I love how Barack Obama wasn't responsible for the horrible economy during his 8 years because of George W. Bush. But Donald Trump comes into office. The economy starts booming once he starts passing policies the left told us would ruin everything. And they say, you know, the economy is only booming because he inherited from Barack Obama a strong economy. When you set the unit of measure, when you decide what the rules are and you do it in pencil rather than pen, you always come out ahead. It's amazing how that works.
Well, and so the result is the economy is going well for as much as the left and the media desperately want it not to be.
Right.
Because that's their one hope right now. Mm. You know, we are all these things ultimately relate to the election. And so they're like, oh, God. You know, they're sitting around newsrooms. Everyone in America, as soon as there's a burp in Idaho, like, oh God, maybe the economy's bad. And they all race to cover it. And they want bad things to happen.
They do.
It's their hope
it's
to get rid of Trump.
It's disturbing to watch the reports. All right, I sneaked a peek at your list. I love number eight.
Okay. Well, number eight is actually a personal favorite of mine. Because not only is it the battle between Saudi Arabia and Iran, which you know, America has chosen Saudi Arabia for various reasons to check Iran. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons is Iran kills Americans. And you know, while Saudi Arabian citizens were certainly involved in 9/11, Saudi Arabia as a country is not at war with the United States. Iran right. is. Iran's, I guess their flunkies in Lebanon killed 241 Americans back during right. Reagan era. Their flunkies in Iraq killed 603 American soldiers during Iraq wars. And, you know, so they're not a friend of ours. Yeah. They're not a friend of any civilized. They're the number one exporter of terror.
But you've got Maxine Waters just last week talking about how
why was the U.S. flying a drone in Iraqi airspace or Iranian airspace, believing the Iranian mullahs over the intelligence community, which I was told you're supposed to always believe the intelligence community.
Except
just
when you
2 weeks ago.
So Iran and Saudi Arabia are fighting. You know, basically, their flunkies, both sides, are fighting a war in Yemen, a civil war. And you'll see a lot of media coverage bashing Saudi Arabia about it. Mm-hmm. And not a lot of media coverage reminding people, like, well, there's a reason why Saudis are there.
They just decided to go fight Yemen.
The Houthis in Yemen will fire rockets and hit like a civilian airport in Saudi Arabia. Like, yeah, that's kind of why they're fighting. But part of this then flows into both an awful and then a ridiculous thing. The awful thing is what happened to Khashoggi. This journalist who wrote for the Washington Post.
It was a column. This is what drives me nuts.
Give me a chance to think. You'll like this.
Okay.
So in the midst of all this, because he apparently got chopped up and destroyed. You know,
not the way you want to go.
Especially not when you go in your own embassy. He was a Saudi citizen, and he goes to a Saudi legation or whatever, and he goes in and doesn't come out. At least
he came
in one
out.
Piece.
Just down the drain.
Yeah. And so in the midst of a big story the Washington Post does about this, they admit, oh, by the way, he was a propagandist for the Nation of Qatar. And he was putting Qatari propaganda. Qatar, by the way, runs Al Jazeera, for people who don't realize. Putting Qatari propaganda into the Washington Post. Now, that story has essentially died.
No, it went nowhere.
You know, the Post doesn't talk about it.
But when you say, why don't you talk about this? They say, we wrote about that.
Yeah. The one paragraph and one story, as far as I can tell, they've never mentioned it otherwise. But they certainly, they tweet about it. They whine about it. And look, I think what the Saudis did was wrong. But this is a Saudi citizen.
So you're firmly against murder?
I think murder.
And cutting up bodies? Yeah. I just want to make sure you're on
at
record.
At least on
it. Taking the brave stand of I'm against
your
murder.
Embassy,
you know. Okay, good. I just
want to
be clear.
But, you know, it's an awful thing, but that doesn't mean that we choose suddenly to be on Iran's side. No. Yeah, okay.
Well,
Khashoggi,
Democrats
not
choose
an
to be
American
on Iran's
citizen.
Side because Donald Trump is against Iran.
Right. But 603 American military killed by the proxies of Iran. That, to me, any one of those outweighs Khashoggi.
Yeah.
603 outweighed a lot more.
That Khashoggi story drove me nuts just because if he had been any other profession.
They wouldn't care.
Nobody would have noticed. Nobody would have cared. It wouldn't have even rated a blurb in any newspaper. But because he was a journalist and they tried to use that as, look at this, is the temperament. This is the environment that Donald Trump's rhetoric is creating. They're chopping up journalists. He wasn't a journalist. He was a columnist. He was a propagandist, as you point out. But they're still talking about Jamal Khashoggi. All right, number 7.
This is the all-encompassing Trump coverage.
That covers everything.
It does. We've got a tracking number. You know, they're like the Dow Jones to show how awful the media have become. And it analyzes ABC, CBS, and NBC evening news shows.
Which is, most people get their news from there.
Yeah, like 22 million people, mostly older people, watch the evening news shows, mostly older women. You can tell by the ads, you know, drugs and stuff like that. And so this is not exactly a radical young liberal dynamic, you know, okay? We're just, that tracking number ranges between 90 and 92% negative about Trump. So if you look at that and say that's the Dow of, you know, like how the media are doing, and then you think, well, then I wonder how CNN or the Washington Post do. And you say, well, they're a lot more liberal than, oh, my God.
And there's more time in the day.
Yeah. And so they just, you know, that's how you get hours and hours, 253 appearances about Michael Avenatti. More than 100 in both CNN and
he was the front runner.
He was NBC.
He was almost anointed the Democratic nominee by CNN.
Brian Stelter, because we haven't bashed Brian Stelter yet. Right. We intend
human
to.
Potato.
I mean, he's one of those. he runs a show you know, humorously titled Reliable Sources.
He inherited the title from Howie Kurtz.
Right, but they're trolling us now.
Yes.
He basically is trying to re-credential Dan Rather, who lost his job at CBS. It's not exactly like he lost his job at a right-wing network. He lost his job at CBS for trying to fix a presidential election.
For lying and using forged documents.
Yeah, you know, go figure. So,
but other than that, the report was completely accurate.
So that's Reliable Sources. So that's they got to the point where they were talking about 25th Amendment solutions, which basically means, you know, their buddies on Capitol Hill were pushing them on that. Their buddies in the press were, we got to get rid of Donald Trump. Well, that's not journalism. I don't know what the hell it is, but it's not journalism. It's not smart. It's not ethical. It's not journalism.
It's activism with a press credential.
Yeah.
That's what they are. They basically now just take press releases, copy and paste, and put their byline on it.
So, you know, they're the greatest example of how awful the press has become, but the press across the board.
Oh, Lord, they're absolutely terrible, but we're not here to talk about how much they suck. We're talking about the last 6 months, so we're going to move up the list to number six.
Which is free stuff.
I love free stuff.
Yeah, you love free stuff, but everybody's been promising free stuff. I mean, look, we've got an avowed socialist running for president. A whole bunch of people who are socialists, they just don't admit
it. Wink and nod socialists. I'm not a socialist.
The number four, maybe number three most powerful politician in our country who's a Democratic socialist.
AOC.
Alexandria
Ocasio-Cortez. You have to say it like that or it's a hate crime.
Yeah, well, I can't roll my R's, so it's a hate crime. But, I mean, there's Trump, there's Mitch McConnell, and then you can choose between AOC and Nancy Pelosi. Who's the most powerful person in the House? I'd argue it's AOC these days because the House doesn't do what Nancy Pelosi wants. The House doesn't.
Well, they did when they passed the supplemental for the border fund.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi, I think that was Nancy Pelosi flexing her muscle. AOC and her three little friends voted against it. That was Nancy Pelosi.
But AOC stopped Amazon.
I can beat you into the ground if I have to. Don't make me have to.
Yeah, but like I said, AOC stopped Amazon, so it's kind of a toss-up.
Well, that's just her screwing over her constituents.
Yeah,
get them out of here.
But so you've got people promising free everything. Bernie Sanders, he admits it's $1.6 trillion. So let's just focus on free education for a second. Two-thirds of Americans don't have a college education.
Yeah.
Of the remaining one-third, most of them have already paid for it. Mm-hmm. And they sweated. I mean, I've got 3 degrees. So I
just well, aren't
sweated.
You smart? I still have student loans, damn it. I want the government to take it over. I want you to pay for it.
Exactly.
You're not getting out of this room until I get at least $20.
Well, you're screwed then, man. But I mean, so they want... Two-thirds of the country have never even considered college, many of them because of money.
Right.
And then a whole bunch of people
many
who
already
paid. Many
of them just wanted to work in a skilled trade and liked working with their hands and said, college isn't for me.
Oh, pay. So I'm going to pay because AOC is going to go out there and whine about somebody who's got $180,000 in student debt, $250,000 in student debt. You know, life is full of choices. I understand people make that choice when they're young.
Right.
And I know a lot of people have over leverage, and I feel bad for
them. If you're willing to take out $250,000 in loans for a bachelor's degree from any college on the planet Earth, you should immediately be expelled from all schools because you should sue everybody who educated you up to that point because they lied
and if it's, to you. And if it's an amalgam of $250,000 because you got a medical degree or a law degree, well, it's going to pay for itself. But if you spent tons of money getting a degree in something that pays you $30,000 a year, you know,
are you saying that my degree in bisexual polar bear studies is not going to pay off in the long run?
Because
I'm
that
working
could,
on my PhD.
I was
going right
to say that could actually pay off given the nature of
that. I'll be the corporate diversity officer for
no,
the
No, you
zoo.
Just work on the bisexual polar bear TV show that Netflix buys from you.
That's a porno. Let's not check your.
Because,
your
no, that's
let's not check your internet browsing history, Dan.
So, but it's that, it's free healthcare, and how the media cover this. They didn't even like admitting back in the day.
They pretend that you can afford this, that we can afford this.
It's just print more money. Because most of the solutions that the left advocates are simply wealth transfer from people who don't vote for them to people who do.
Right.
You know, $1.6 trillion. Oh, we're going to take this money from you and give it to that guy over there because we think he'll vote for us.
I still have student loans. I won't vote for them, but I will hammer that check if they send it to me because, hey, I'll play by the rules that they set. Let's move up the list now. Number five.
The tax cut that wasn't.
Tax cuts?
Yes.
No, everybody got screwed over by taxes except for the rich, right?
Here's a New York Times. I brought this article with me because this is too precious.
I like guests who bring
There's an article for the New York Times, conveniently, April 14th, 2019. This is after the media hammered Trump that this was a tax cut for the rich. Face it. You probably got a tax cut. That's the freaking New York Times headline. Studies consistently find that the 2017 law cut taxes for most Americans. Most of them don't buy it. I wonder why.
No kidding.
Yeah, I mean.
At least they ran it. And then they won't ever reference it again. They'll say the tax cuts mostly went to the rich. Look, if you're paying $1 million a year in taxes, a 1% cut in your taxes is going to be, dollar amount-wise, much bigger than somebody who's paying $10,000 a year in taxes getting a 10% tax cut. But it means a hell of a lot more to the guy paying $10,000 in taxes to keep $1,000 than it does somebody paying $1 million in taxes keeping $1,000.
Right. I mean, but they overwhelmingly – and we're one of the places that journalists lie – with wild abandon now is Twitter. And so they'll say, oh, you know, they'll retweet some stupid article from Vox or HuffPost talking about the people who saw, oh, they didn't get a tax cut. Yes, they did. I actually didn't. See, this is going back to your student loan point. I actually didn't. I live in the People's Republic of Maryland.
So I
end up paying more taxes. And
well, you're a rich guy.
No, no.
You've got three or four titles.
Three or four homes. Oh, wait, no, that's Bernie Sanders.
He'll give you one.
You know, so I paid more taxes. Even then, I liked the law, and I wanted people to get more of their money back, and I want the media not to lie about it. But they don't know how to do that.
Well, good luck with that. Everybody wants the media not to lie about it, but that's you'd be out of a job if the media stopped lying about it.
The media would stop. Here's the deal I'll make officially on air.
I know Brent Bozell is clenching his fist right now.
If the media will stop lying, actually, you know, just land in the land of neutral. Just live there.
Do the job they say
they
do.
Do the job they're supposed to do. Obey the Society of Professional Journalists, you know, code of ethics and all sorts of stuff like that. I will gladly, A, go back in the media or go to work at Walmart, whatever I got to do to make that happen. You know, I'll go bum on the street. There's plenty of that happening. I'll go to
LA. There's an incentive.
Put me out of a job.
Jim Acosta, make this happen. Number four.
Democrats aren't pushing for post-birth abortion. This is one where the press have genuinely beaten up Donald Trump for telling the truth.
Yeah.
They complain that Donald Trump lies, and then they beat him up for telling the truth.
You've got Governor Blackface Northam on video.
Or KKK Northam. He's admitted to blackface, but
he's one of the two.
Yes, he's at least one of the two.
He's on video saying, well, if that baby survives an abortion, we'll make it comfortable, and then we'll have a discussion about what to do with it. Like, really? That's not post-birth abortion.
Right. I mean, that's like saying that Northam's in an auto accident. And the doctor comes to the hospital and says, well, we're going to make him comfortable and we're going to debate then what happens to him. If you're born in this country, you are a freaking American citizen. You are a living, breathing American citizen. They're talking about whether you die or not.
Democrats are willing to lay down in front of trucks to stop the deportation of non-citizens in the country illegally. Somebody actually born to an American here, even if by accident, and they go, yeah, but throw it in a meat grinder. It's all good. Never mind. Forget it.
And they don't want to report it accurately because they're so in the tank for Big Baby Killer, Planned Parenthood.
They spend a lot of money every election cycle. They need to get a taste of that.
But they won't. I mean, they're the quotes. They're what New York did. There's a quote. What Virginia tried to do. They don't even want to admit when the quotes are staring them right in the face, because to do that, then they also have to admit that Donald Trump is the most pro-life president we've had since Ronald Reagan.
Which I did not see coming.
No one saw that coming.
I did not see coming.
But, I mean, I think part of it is the influence of Mike Pence and voters, I think. But it is also Donald Trump reflects the revulsion that most Americans have for late-term abortion, and particularly for post-birth abortion. It's appalling. And what's funny is you go back to the debates, he actually said this would happen. The Democrats would get to the point of being, this extreme, they kill big. That's where they are.
You can't parody people. You can't parody
No, yeah, we are we in the post-parody world.
Number three.
The tech companies aren't biased. This is near and dear to my heart, since this is TechWatch, what the MRC does now. But that Google and Facebook and Twitter, oh God, Twitter, and YouTube and Amazon, and just go down the line, Pinterest.
I love how they want the protections of just being a kiosk where anybody can come up and staple their band's flyer to it. They also then want the control of saying, we don't like that band. We don't want them to be able to advertise on us. Because if they're actually labeled a publisher, that opens themselves up to massive liability. Where if I go on there and say, Dan Gaynor is a SOB, blah, 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 you could sue me and whatever platform it is, right, because they've decided that what I've typed slanderously about you is valid to be posted. It's a screwed up situation where they operate. There's not a line. It's a squiggly sort of ever changing right. thing.
And some are worse than others. Twitter's really ridiculous. Yes. We're now seeing more and more about Google. Facebook at least has engaged the right. But then you look at Facebook, they had this assessment they had done by somebody from the ACLU, and they got former Senator Kyle was doing the conservative version of the assessment. Well, we've seen the liberal assessment. We saw it 6 months ago, actually more than 6 months ago now. We saw it in December. And we still haven't seen what Kyle was allegedly working on. And, you know, poor people over at Facebook. Oh, Sheryl Sandberg wraps her arms around the thing, says, oh, this would be my number, one of my top goals for 2019, to do all these liberal things. And we, you know, we still haven't seen what Kyle was supposed to be working on.
What you say, Twitter is the worst. Rank them quickly, top three.
Twitter, if you're talking about for bad, Twitter is the worst.
Twitter shadow ban. So they tell you that you're basically shouting into an empty building.
Right. But, and I mean, it did it to me. Last year, before the MRC cruise, mrccruise.org.com, that's worse. Anyway, before the MRC cruise went last year,
I deleted
all of my tweets, mm-hmm, and then started new tweets by setting on a very strict, only a few hundred tweets. Suddenly, my interactions went off the charts. They had shadow banned me. I was getting like one or two likes on things that I now get, you know, dozens or hundreds. And that was just one example. Something I liked or somebody I was connected to or some tweet I made got me in the doghouse. So they're number one. I think
it's really at the whim of some D-bag sitting at a keyboard out in Palo Alto area.
Or it's the organizational thing. We don't know. That's because they're all black boxes. I would say, just based on interaction, I would say Google/YouTube,
they're definitely the most powerful too.
And so by consequence, they're the next. Facebook at least has made entrees to the right. And so they're clearly below the other two. And if any of the top ones might do something good, it's likely Facebook. I mean, they got rid of Farrakhan. Now, they did it. It gave them cover to get rid of some other people.
Right.
But
I don't want to get rid of anybody. That's the thing.
You have embraced
you know exactly what Farrakhan is. And if that's where you want to go. Look, if you want to go to the restaurant with the C rating from the health inspector that has a history of getting people sick, but you really like their noodles, knock yourself out. But go in there knowing what you're getting.
For Facebook and for Twitter, the easy solution is let people choose what they want. You know, don't make Facebook decide what my news feed is. Let me decide what my news feed is. Who's in it? How often I see them? But they don't want to do that.
No.
And then Google is just complete black box.
They want control without the responsibility. That's exactly.
Well, they want the control without getting negative feedback from people.
Right. All right. Now, number two on the list.
Well, this is the border crisis that wasn't.
Don Lemon, he can't sleep at night.
Don Lemon, Brian Stelter, the major media spent a lot of time telling us that hundreds of thousands of people coming across our border, mobbing our border. What crisis? Unprecedented.
Now it's a crisis. Now they're all of a sudden Kevin McAllister from Home Alone.
Yeah. Because what happened was their one narrative didn't work. You know, nobody believed them, but it wasn't a crisis. Right. So eventually, you know, the fact that our border control and our border enforcement got completely overwhelmed. Suddenly, the Democrats started complaining about it. Well, this is wrong. Look, I want to see people treated well. I would love to see everybody.
I would like to see them given a very comfortable seat on the first plane back to where they're.
Well, I was going to say,
beverage service included at a discount.
Perfectly well, you know, enforced, and you know, here's nothing, and then put them back over the border.
A series there of trebuchets into there, the Gulf of Mexico. No,
but there are 7.5 billion people in the world, and we only have 328 million. That means we're suddenly supposed to make room for 7.2? I don't think so. I don't think that works that right.
Well, you're a hate monger, Dan.
Yeah, and so then that leads to stuff like what we got yesterday, and it's really awful.
The picture of the picture. Father.
Well, I mean,
not just
the picture, but the incident where people.
People drown. Maybe we should give floaties and swimming lessons to these immigrants. It's going to get to the point that they're going to say, well, we need to start chartering flights from El Salvador, Honduras, and Nicaragua.
Right, because it's our fault.
Right.
And so we need to make it easier on people. And meanwhile, Donald Trump has accomplished. He's got Mexico willing to put 15,000 troops on the border, Mexico putting troops on its southern border, you know, actually trying to rein in the problem. Because if we don't, we've already got the number the press won't use. That's 22 million illegal immigrants. It's not 11 million.
No, they've lied. The 11 million number hasn't changed in 20 years.
They've lied to us forever. Then I think it was a Yale study came out and said, oh, yeah, by the way, that number's completely bogus. There's 22 million. 22 million, what that means is not only is it enough to totally change the dynamic in America politically, culturally, et cetera, but let's skip Trump and go back to Mitt Romney for a second. Hispanics in this country voted 70-30 before, you know, for Democrats during Mitt Romney, the kinder, gentler Republican. That means
I wasn't all that keen about voting for Mitt Romney.
I wasn't either. But what I'm saying, but that's a 40% turn. So if there's only 11 million illegal immigrants in America, mostly Hispanic, that's 4.4 million more Hispanic votes for Democrats. If there's 22 million and they become citizens, that's 8.8. Well, that's enough to turn. That's going to say it turns the Republican Party.
It turns Texas blue.
It turns everything blue. It turns every major state blue. It turns the Democratic Party into the only national party, Republican Party into a regional party at best, maybe can win a few states, and Democrats win and that's it. They're done. And so that's the whole play here. That's why we won't get honest numbers.
But it's not a crisis until a kid doesn't have a toothbrush. Well, and then instead of buying the kid a toothbrush, they'll bitch about it.
Well, instead of the Democrats basically funding border security and actually giving us money to handle the problem.
They didn't care that they were marching 2,000 miles without enough food or a toothbrush. It's when they get here and they're given three hots and a cot. We need a toothbrush. This is inhumane.
The infinite rule of we have to supply everything for everybody.
Maybe if we airdrop toothbrushes into Central America, this will all stop. Maybe they're coming here for the oral hygiene. Anybody ever think of that? Probably not. All right, Dan, as we wrap it up here, I'll try and give you a little bit. The number one, I think everybody knows, you can guess what this is, but the number one worst media story examples of so far 2019.
Well, it's 2019, 18, 17, right. And part of 16,
yes.
Which is Russian collusion. Which is the Mueller report, which is Russian collusion, which is the, you know, Russia hacked our election crap. Russia hacked the power grid crap, which, you know, got completely false.
It was a false story. You know, a complete lie.
A lot of these. I printed this out not so much for any. Oh, what is it? Printed this out. This is great. This is a great show and tell. Printing this out just to show this is done by The Intercept. I generally don't like The Intercept, but they did a show and tell of all that's wrong with the Russia collusion investigation.
All the stories that were bogus, that were debunked.
This is a massive pile of papers that nobody can wade through.
And that's just like one sentence per. They didn't go into details.
Right.
In
they're just showing like a, you know, oh, okay, here's Washington Post and fake news, you know, hot seat, tweets and headlines. All of this is wrong. All of it. It's been wrong for years.
Yet I bet 90% of the people whose bylines are referenced in that piece will win some blue site block with their name laser etched into it honoring them for their coverage.
And only a few of them got fired for it.
Three of them at CNN are the only ones I know.
Well, and Brian Ross.
Okay.
Brian Ross, because he single-handedly tanked the stock market. Things that you've accomplished in journalism, that Brian Ross did that. That's great. But it just never ends, which means the Mueller report. Now Mueller's going to testify. It's all endless garbage because they have to prove a narrative that it's never worked for them. So they're just going to keep repeating the same insanity.
Well, in a way, you've got to admire their willingness to trudge on despite lack of evidence or support. They're not going to let the lack of facts stand in the way of a good narrative. And, you know, that's throughout history, whatever color their shirts were, brown is a good example. They never let the facts stand in the way. I'm just picking a color at random.
Hypothetically, yes.
Yeah, hypothetically. They've never let the facts stand in the way of a good narrative. And now it's a grand tradition of journalism. It doesn't matter that 2 years and $25 million.
By the way, another color would be yellow.
2 years and $25 million found nothing. Unlimited power, unlimited resources, found nothing, said as much. They ignore that part of the Mueller report. And I'm surprised how that didn't die. They have seized on the alleged obstruction of justice, which I get. But they still talk about Russian collusion as if it's a real possibility.
And then they don't talk about Democratic collusion.
No.
Like, for instance, hypothetically, Alabama. Russia, and now we know more about what Russia did online than we used to. Mm. But initially, the report was Russia spent $100,000 and Democrats basically claimed it was all helping Trump. Now we know actually what Russia was doing was helping, you know, both sides of the political spectrum just trying to divide.
They're just trying to stir the pot. Michael Moore attended an anti-Trump rally organized by these Russian agents.
Yeah. But meanwhile, Democrats spent $200,000 doing the same thing in Alabama, funded by a member of the Microsoft board, who also is one of the founders of LinkedIn, Reid Hoffman. And he's still on Microsoft. He's still on the board. You know,
that's why I use Mac. Not that it's much better, but it's either that or an abacus. Can't read a typewriter. So if you're going to get into tech, you've got to feed the liberals. So your list going forward, just give me, is the Russia going to dominate the whole year, you think?
Well, I mean, Russia will dominate because sooner or later, they can't help themselves. Sooner or later, they're going to impeach. I don't believe they can. I don't believe that this. I almost said saner minds. I don't believe that. I stopped myself from that.
You don't think they're going to keep taking their meds?
I think as the election heats up, enough people on the Hill will want attention. And some of them are running for Congress. Some are running for Senate. Some of them are running for president.
Yeah.
And they will get angrier and angrier. Is
it real genuine anger, or is it that mob is angry? I want them to like me, so I will.
Some of it's both. I mean, there's craven people who have, you know, really just are grotesquely incompetent and not good
at just say Eric's.
You know, that's what I was going to say. In fact, that's a, you know, so people like him who are just basically desperate media attention whores. But yeah, I think some of them are angry because they're convinced that 2016 was stolen from them. Look back to the press conference.
The mob is. Yeah. The politicians actually know it was.
You look back in 2016, they were told by the press that they were going to win in 2016 and never lose again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why what happened in 2016, they've basically been throwing a tantrum ever since.
It's been fun to watch.
But it's also watching like While Rome Burns, yeah, and you know it might make you know, warm and pretty pictures, but in the after effect, Rome still burned
right.
down.
No, I understand.
And we're Rome right now, and it's
sad but true. Dan Gaynor, Vice President, Business, Culture, and Tech Watch.
You got it.
At the Media Research Center, MRC.org. Thanks for coming in this holiday week. Thanks for making it on the show.
Always a pleasure.
Now I've almost got the complete set of MRC muckety mucks who've been on the program. I'm Derek Hunter. Thanks for watching. Email me, Derek@dailycaller.com. Don't forget to subscribe, share it, tell a friend, do whatever you got to do. Go out, enjoy some barbecue, drink some beers, watch some fireworks. Try not to blow any extremities off your body, and be back here on Monday.